We are not going to be going on in Romans this morning for the sake of saving it for those that are missing from us today that they have opportunity to flow with us too. But with this going on in Israel, my mind goes back again to Scripture. This morning I'd like to read Scripture. I want to tell you, first of all, most of you know this, I believe Scripture. I believe that what we have recorded here is God's word that he intends for us to have. He has declared it ahead of time. My wife and I are right now in Isaiah reading through chapters 40 through 48. We just finished 48. And in this set of scriptures, God challenges Israel. He says, you've been chasing all these other gods. Bring one of your gods. Let's have a talk. Have your God do something. Have your God tell us how things came to be. Have your gods tell us what's going to be in the future. And then God says, I have done that. I have declared to you what is going to happen. So that when it happens, you can't thank one of your gods. You recognize that I am God. God has given that to us. God has spoken in his scripture prophetically from the beginning, telling what's going to take place. Not always with the clarity that we can follow the dot-to-dot map. But after the fact, we look back and say, oh, God said it. That's what has happened. Whenever there is an outburst in the Middle East, my mind goes back to Scripture, prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. I'm very aware of many that have been fulfilled, and because they have been, I can trust that the others will be. Truly, my mind has been for a week saying, Lord, is it time? Is it time? I would like to go back into the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel has got some way confusing stuff in it. But so do other passages of Scripture, stuff I'm still scratching my head about that one day I'll understand. There's plenty that I do understand, and some of this that is going to take place very literally, maybe starting, but please hear me. I am not standing in front of you saying this is being fulfilled today. I do not know that. But what we're about to read, there's reason to wonder, Lord, is this starting to unfold? I am left waiting, and you are too. And if you invest all you've got into that guy that says, hey, I got it all figured out, You lose. He doesn't have it all figured out. I love going back and leaning on Jesus' words. The Father has set the time. The angels in heaven, no man, even the Son of Man, does not know. The Father knows. Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 are all by themselves. There isn't really a lead into it. And after this, talks about a temple that has not yet been built. But this set right in here is given. It's been in the scripture since the day of the captivity, when news came to Babylon, to the Jews, that the final destruction of Jerusalem had taken place. That's about the time Ezekiel started this ministry of prophesying. He gave this as from God. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel says, chapter 38, verse 1. Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, and let me say that could be translated the chief leader or prince of Meshech and Tubal. There are many that try to identify Rosh with Russia just because it sounds similar. Both are English words. The etymology doesn't work so well when you go back to Hebrew. It might include them. In fact, Meshach and Tubal, these are areas in history that include what is now eastern Turkey and that part of Russia that is between the Black Sea and Caspian. The map is backwards to you as I do this. I got to fix, right? And Iran. Those are the three areas that take up this area that's called Meshach and Tubal. Some try to relate those to two cities of Russia. Again, etymology is a very weak argument. Whoever he's talking about, he is talking to them, and this is going to happen. Say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, leader of Meshach and Tubal, or prince of Rosh, Meshach and Tubal. God says, I will turn you about. I'll put hooks into your jaws. I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. Let me stop right here. When God spoke to prophets like Daniel, like Ezekiel, like John in the book of Revelation, he put images that they could understand and relate on scripture that I believe stood for something very literally, and we don't have to make it something else. Ezekiel would have had no idea what an army tank is, for instance, right, and a helicopter, etc. The war that comes on is described in language and picture that they can understand, but I can safely tell you as we read through this, this has not happened yet. I am one that believes it will happen quite literally. In a language that they could understand, we can translate that. I believe that's legal. Persia, Ethiopia, and Put with them. So other countries, north, east, and south, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer with all its troops. Beth Togarma from the remote parts of the north with all its troops. Many people with you. As we read down through this, I've got a purpose in reading it. And when we get there, I'll tell you what it is. This isn't just to satisfy curiosity or to make you think we got the puzzle figured out. Verse 7, be prepared. Prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you. Be on guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. And he's talking about the ones he's going to drag down by the jaw. In the latter years, you will come into the land. Watch this description. That is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, plural, and they are living securely, all of them. Not necessarily peacefully, but secured in strength. And I'm telling you what, I am one believes that God did begin this in 1948, when the Jewish people from around the globe were gathered back to their country. A lot could be said there. I want to read scripture. Verse 10, thus says the Lord, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil plan. I missed verse 9. I'm sorry. And you will go up and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land. You and all your troops and many peoples with you. Ezekiel 38, verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind. You will devise an evil plan, and you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that live securely, all of them living without walls, having no bars or gates. To capture spoil, to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations. who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the navel of the earth, literally, the center of the earth. This is the only time in the scripture that term is used. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its villages will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil? Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you know it? Implied, yes, you will know it. And you will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and a mighty army. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. Here is one of the purpose verses that I'm reading this morning. It will come about in the last days that I, God says, shall bring you against my land in order that the nations may know me. When I shall be sanctified, set apart through you before their eyes, O Gog. Like he said to Pharaoh, I have a purpose for you, and it is that the nations might know me. And he's saying, I'm going to drag you down in war against this land at this place so that the nations might know that I am God. Verse 17, thus says the Lord God, are you the one of whom I spoke in former days through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? It will come about on that day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God. Watch this mounting, that my fury will mount up in my anger, it builds, and in my zeal and in my flaming wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great shaking in the land of Israel. It could be very literally an earthquake. There's one coming that's going to split mountains. It could be the presence of God that shakes everything up in this context. And it could be the shaking, the likes of which has started today through the arsenal that's been exchanged. I don't want to make a lot out of that, but I'm bringing a possibility in here. And the fish of this sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. God is going to do this. The mountains also will be thrown down, steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. And I shall call for a sword against him, Gog, on all my mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and with pestilence, with blood, I shall enter into judgment with him. I shall rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstones, fire and brimstone. Is it mysterious? And is it something that instantly is going to happen? Does it include what we know of that rains out of the skies today that is like a brimstone? I don't know, but I know that they're going to know something's going on, hot and heavy. And I, here comes the next purpose verse. I shall magnify myself, sanctify myself, make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am God. That has been the key to my prayer for this last week. The scripture admonishes us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I have to bring other knowledge into that. They can't have peace until they know him who is the Prince of Peace. They can't. They can't. They are hated by the world. Today, they always have been. They have been a focal point for much of the world. And at the end, they are going to be the focal point of all nations. Chapter 39, I'd like to read the first 8 verses. It is reiterating what 38 has already said, but using some different wording. "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I shall turn you around and drive you on, take you up from the remotest part of the north, bring you against the mountains of Israel. And I shall strike the bow from your left hand, dash your arrows from your right hand, and you shall fall in the mountains of Israel. You and all your troops and the peoples who are with you, I shall give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall in the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord God. And I shall send fire on Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety." By the way, Gaza is on the coast. All of this attack has gone from the coast inward into Israel. "I shall set fire on Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety, and they will know that I am the Lord. And my holy name I shall make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I shall not let my holy name be profaned anymore. The nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One, in Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be done, declares the Lord God. That is the day of which I have spoken." I do believe this very literally. If we are not seeing the beginning of this, some generation will. This may be a precursor. This may be the whole thing beginning to open up. And our posture, I believe, Lord, make yourself known. Not just there, but yes, there. In our own community, where it has become political, this side blaming that side, and you know, there is so much going on that is nothing but confusion. Well, there's an author of confusion who loves to use confusion to separate people, and it's very strategic on his part. It's going on. Is this happening? I don't know, but it's an opportunity for some to see that the Lord, He is God. Now, the next section out of 39 talks about 7 months of going around and burying dead people. And if there's a man's bone found, somebody comes along, their job is to mark it so other grave diggers come along and find that bone. 7 months. 7 months of taking the weapons and destroying them. Then we come to verse 21. "And I shall set my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. And the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day onward." We're coming close in that section of Romans where we are currently. We're in chapter 10, nearing the last section of it. In chapter 11, he says these very words, that in that day, Israel, all Israel, will know that He is God. It's coming. Ezekiel is referring to that also. In that day, the house of Israel will know, because they don't, even as Ezekiel is writing, that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, from that day onward. Verse 23, "And the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted treacherously against me. I hid my face from them, so I gave them into the hand of their adversaries. All of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness, according to their transgressions, I dealt with them. I hid my face from them." God turned his face away from them, but he said not permanently. And that's in the scripture, straight out clear. There's a time period for that. Verse 25, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I shall restore the fortunes of Jacob," that's Israel, "and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I shall be jealous for my holy name, and they shall not forget their disgrace and all their treachery, which they perpetuated against me. when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations. And then I gathered them again to their own land, and I will leave none of them there any longer in the stray places. I will not hide my face from them any longer. For I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel. He began that work 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 2. He began that work. That pouring out of his spirit that is spoken of by Joel. But in this day, clearly on the house of Israel, 11:25 of Romans, they will know me. They won't have to order each other. Well, know the Lord. Come to the Lord, because they will know me. You can look it up. Look ahead. Do your homework ahead of time before I get there. It's going to be a little while before we get to Romans 11. They will know me. I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. My position in this last week, Lord, is it time that in their stress and strain and trauma, in the horror of the whole scene, is it time not only for Israel, but do you understand that there are many people in the Arab nations that know our God? His name is not Allah. His name is the living God, Jesus, currently. What a time for people to recognize exactly what Romans 1 talks about, that God has instilled the knowledge of himself within every person. Oh, it takes that kind of drama to draw it out, for them to bow their heart before the living God. What a time. And that, I believe, should be our prayer focus. I want to read a little bit more scripture. Would you please turn to the right, to the book of Zechariah? It has also been pretty lively in my brain. Zechariah also has some things that make me shake my head and scratch it. What does this mean? Not quite sure. These books didn't come with your own commentary. Some of them Jesus refers back to and it makes it make sense. Paul refers back to it and makes it make sense. And some of it doesn't make all that much sense yet, but I believe it. And when we get past it, we'll be able to see it. Right down the line. Zechariah chapter 12. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord who stretches out the heavens. Stop right there and say, oh, that God. Who stretches out the heavens. And I love it when I hear those say, yeah, the universe is spreading. Who pointed that out a long time ago? Who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it shall also be against Judah. Let me pause right here and give the timing. Zechariah wrote approximately 400 years before Jesus was born, well after the captivity of 70 years that started in 586 BC. It's 400 years before Christ. This has not happened. There is no way to close one eye and hold your tongue just right and say, well, this happened in 70 AD, because that's the only flag we can point at as a historical marker. What we're going to read did not happen in 70 AD when Jerusalem and Israel was taken out as a country and dispersed literally around the planet. Verse 2. Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured. Its literal translation is, will be severely scratched. You're going to remember it. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. All the nations includes whom? Including our nation. I believe it. This does not say that all peoples of all nations will turn against Israel and the God of Israel, but all nations. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment, its rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God. The Lord of hosts, the captain of the host of the armies of heaven. In that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood, and a flaming torch among the sheaves, so they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord will also save the tents of Judah first, in order that the glory of the house of David, that's a line that Jesus came through, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not be magnified above Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. And the house of David, the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them, powerful, unstoppable. And it will come about in that day that I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. That's ability from God, the empowerment from God, the work from God, and of the supplication. So they will, watch this, they will look on me whom they have pierced. Somehow they're going to see the Lord Jesus. And it appears to me that this, and he brings it up again in two chapters, is going to be a physical appearance that they see. They will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, slightly veiled. This is about Jesus. And weep. They will weep bitterly over him, like the bitter weeping over the firstborn. One of the probably big errors, maybe tragedies, that I've been exposed to in my life as a Christian. I get saved at 1975. Do the math, you can figure it out. I've been hearing about Israel and hearing about Jerusalem, hearing about the scattered Jews, hearing. And the presentation often leads me to believe they're all wonderful people. They are a people that we should, you know, throw flowers down in front of them as they walk along. And the reality is, they are rascals just like you. I almost said me. They are sinners. There is ungodly at the very root of a lot that is happening in Israel today. But one day all that's going to change. And God is still going to deal with Israel. They are going to remember their sin even when they're in his presence. We just read it in Ezekiel. They're going to remember. Now they're look upon me whom they have pierced and mourn. Ah, look what we did. Look what we did. Look what we did. That mourning is going to be deep. Verse 11, and that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. We can do some history on that. What happened at Megiddo? In that day, excuse me, verse 12, the land will mourn every family by itself. The family of the house of David, so the royal family by itself, their wives by themselves. Independently, individuals are going to realize their sin, their outcry and outburst against Messiah, and the blasphemy of saying he's not Messiah, we're still waiting for Messiah. The family of the house of Levi, the religious leaders, and then their wives by themselves. Individually, the family of the Shemites, again, the religious leaders of David and Nathan, of Levi and Shemite, the Shemites of the religious ones, the royal ones, David and Nathan. All the families that remain, every family by itself, their wives by themselves. The mourning that will take place, the grieving that will take place when this day takes place. Yet watch what happens. It leads to verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. There we go. The tongue gets ahead of the brain. That's weird. In that day, the fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. The fountain of cleansing. Other places it talks about a river in chapter 14, a crack in a river that flows two different directions, east and west. This fountain is the purifying of their sin in that day. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. They will no longer be remembered. I will also remove the prophets, the unclean spirits from the land. It will come about that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who gave birth to him will say to him, you shall not live. Ooh. For you have spoken falsely in the name of the Lord, Yahweh. His father and mother who gave birth to him will pierce him through when he prophesies. It will come about in that day that the prophets will each be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not put on the hairy robe, looking like John the Baptist, in order to deceive. By the way, there's plenty of false prophets still deceiving today. Some of them come across in godly garments, we think. One day they're going to be silenced. It will come about in that day that the prophets will each be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not put on the hairy robe to deceive, but he will say, I'm not a prophet. I'm a tiller of the ground. I'm a shepherd. I'm a machinist. Whatever. For a man sold me as a slave in my youth. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your hands? Literally. This is back to Jesus. This is back to the previous chapter, verse 10. They will say, what are those wounds between your arms or hands? Then he will, hands literally. They will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Description of what Jesus went through. And so God then gives his purpose with Jesus. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. That's Jesus. Against the man, my associate. Declares the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered, and I will in my turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, a third will be left. I will bring the third through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is refined. Then they will call on my name. I will answer them, and they will say, and I will say, it's like implying now it's changed, tables have turned, they're my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. It required the cleansing that comes from the fountain that is spoken of here in that language, which is Jesus, the one whom they pierced, who God raised up to be that final sacrifice. That was the sword set against my shepherd, my associate. Jesus had to be that sacrificed lamb to cleanse the sin. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you, Israel, will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished. Half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. This didn't happen in 70 AD. in 70 AD, they were all taken out. But watch this. Lord, is it time? Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fights on a day of battle, and in that day, if you're writing your Bible, underline this, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley. So that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. And you will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Ezel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then Yahweh, my Elohim, will come with all his holy ones. Again, repeated by John in Revelation 1:7, the Lord Jesus will come with all his holy ones. Repeated by Jesus' words himself in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. There's coming a time we may be in the generation in which it will happen that the Lord Jesus will appear like the scriptures say he will. Physically, actually, the Lord of hosts to take care of the sin and rebellion of mankind. Then the Lord will come with his holy ones. Verse 6, and it will come about in that day that there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. For it will be a unique day which is known only to the Lord, neither day nor night. But it will come about that at evening there will be light. And there's so many scriptures that have language just like this. That didn't happen in 70 AD. It's not the obscuring by the smoke that is happening from the bombs today in Israel. It's a day like no other that's experienced around the globe. It will come about that in that day, verse 8 says, that living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. Oh, that Revelation description gets bigger and bigger and deeper and deeper. What John saw was amazing. Half of them, of the waters, flow to the eastern sea, the other half toward the western sea, and it will be in summer as well as in winter. And there's a prophecy about that which goes to the east, going down to the Dead Sea and giving it life. It's pretty dead today still, by the way. It's nothing but salt today. And it's interesting, I've been told, I haven't done much homework on it, but apparently, right here at the Mount of Olives, it has been discovered there is a fault line going east to west. It's set up. When's it going to happen? Verse 9. One of the reasons I'm reading these today, and the Lord Yahweh will be king over all the earth. Amen. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name, the only one. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate as far as the place, the first gate to the corner gate, from the Tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. And people will live in it. And there will be no more curse. For Jerusalem will dwell in security. Many other prophecies can be brought in at this time. There's one other prophecy that I looked up and read this morning. You do your own homework on it. I'll just tell you where it is. Fits right in. Daniel chapter 8 through Daniel chapter, actually 12. In Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11, there's yet another key player that comes in. We know him through Paul's wording as the Antichrist. John's wording in 1 John speaks about the Antichrist. Revelation description of the Antichrist. This one that's going to come in and have all the answers. This one that's going to come in with his plan to set up peace. Watch for it. That's my word to you. The one that's going to come in with the answers to the skirmish that's going on right now. He's going to come in with the answers to the things you're hearing on your local PBS channels. All of the world cataclysmic things. Going to have the answers. He is going to allow the Jewish people to set up their temple, have their sacrifices. And in 3.5 years, what's he going to do? Daniel 8, Daniel 11, he will cut it off. Watch for it. For the one that has the answers, because he's not God. It's going to be ones that are turned away from God because of his smooth talk, his plans, and look, it's all working. And he sets himself up as being God. He could be.
For the Jewish people to receive him.
He could be.
They will.
There's things in the scripture that can point to that he's going to be a Jewish person. There's other things in the scripture that suggest he's not Jewish. I don't know. He could be one of our own U.S. leaders. I don't know. Or former leaders. We don't know. And what I'm told in the scripture is to watch for the Lord Jesus. Be wary of that one, because he's coming in a shrewd way to dilute the truth, to bring it down to where it's no longer truth. Daniel 8 talks about that. The English translation used about 3 times there is he will destroy many. And the word destroy is not necessarily accurate. It means to add something to it so it becomes something that it is not. To dilute it, to change it, is what he's going to be doing through his shrewdness. And it says, in a time of peace. It's coming. So now, Lord, is it time? When Jesus said, and Luke quoted the words, when you see these things beginning to happen, look up. For your redemption draws near. Be serious about God. You don't see him yet? You will. And they will. And Israel is going to be the focal point of all of this action. That's why there is such a to-do going on. And I believe what we've read is going to unfold. It might look different than how I think I understand it to be. And the timing, I don't know. Right now I'm left to pray, and I'm left to talk with him and pray for people of any ethnic origin, especially those living there in the heat of it, to know the living God. Not to hate him, not to blame him. Interaction. Thoughts or questions? Ron, go ahead.
Well, like I said in the first service, I think it's just so critical for us to understand this and to be able to use this to communicate to non-believers that God is involved in this.
Stay a little shy of saying, this is happening today.
No, that's not what I mean.
I know you don't, but I'm saying it again, you know, because that's a temptation. When it happens, it's going to be the Lord's doing. Jenny?
I think it's our time now to go out and help like that lady on the street that mm-hmm. don't know God, to go out now and to the people that have the questions.
Yes.
Explain who God is and who Jesus is, because I think it's our calling. This is I believe this is entering the 1,000 years of peace before all this stuff happens to get. That's my belief. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that. So okay. We need to go out and pray and be with these people.
And that Romans 10 that we were talking about last week is that very admonition.
Yep. Yep.
That we tell what we know about
yep.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Somebody else.
What do you say to a person who doesn't understand why the Jews are God's chosen people? I had a conversation with someone and he's like, well, that offends me. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he's going to choose people that rejected him, and yet I'm here, and I've accepted him, and I'm not his chosen.
Right. And where I've gone, Colleen, I just talked to a Jewish man right outside this door, right here, when I was digging a trench for the water line. he was standing there trying to get to know me, and he was offended by what I was saying.
Really?
Along that line, he himself. What we have to do is go back to the history. And it's about God. It's not about them.
Right.
It's about God's choice. It's not about them. In Deuteronomy, there's three places in chapter 9 of Deuteronomy that God says, it's not because of your righteousness.
Amen.
Rebellious, stiff-necked people, you know, that kind of language. It's for my name's sake. God has made the promise. He gave that promise to Abraham, reiterated to Isaac, reiterated to Jacob, and it's been happening right down through. It's about God. It's not about a higher quality people. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Not at all. And I can't figure out for the life of me why so many people want to be known as Jews today when they're not. What's the point? If you know Jesus, you're a child of God. That's what a place that is. He has adopted you, brought you in as a son, set you, placed you as son, child of God. I don't have to follow this to become that. It's God. It's about God, Colleen. And knowing that history, following it, just go in Genesis and track that through. Of course, we've got a lot of other historical books to read too, to see it unfold. But whether that's going to solve the issue and you can only tell them why you believe what you believe.
Right.
You can't make them change their mind.
Exactly.
And it's okay.
So this is really
that's God's business.
God versus the devil versus God. He didn't get his way. God kicked him out. And he's still trying.
He's been lying ever since.
Exactly. And this is what it's all about. And we need to let people know.
Enter the book of Revelation that identifies him perfectly in that position. Somebody else.
So Dan, if I can pitch in here, I think there is simply one reason that we're given why God chooses this people rather than that people. It pleases him.
There you go.
Why does it please him? I haven't the faintest idea. I don't know. But that's what it says.
Amen.
It pleased him to do this.
Thank you.
There you go.
Well, where did the chronicler go to his word? I mean, we were chosen as his people and scribe and putting down his holy word that our Bible says is.
That's what Romans gets into.
It's written by the man, but not of man.
Yes.
And I'm going to go back to this here because I'm not clear if that person you're talking about was Jewish or just a non-Jew.
No.
So the one that comes to mind is the whole thing about the vine and grafting in the wild branch. And, you know, if you can be part of the original Jewish people, but if you're not part of Jesus, it's very clear.
Yeah.
That story's a good one.
Look at this picture.
Yep, it is.
Jesus came in, and the first miracle he did was against the priests when he changed the water into wine, because that was their ceremonial washing water. And he told his mother, I'm not ready, it's not my time yet. But he went ahead and did, and he told them, and they knew. They knew who he was, and they still would not accept him.
John chapter 2, there's a wonderful reason for that miracle that we're often not cognizant of. Go ahead, Dave.
You spent some time in Ezekiel and emphasizing that phrase that they may know that I am God, I am Jehovah, 70 times in Ezekiel.
Wow.
That's what's important. God wants people to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to have more reason than that? And he chooses to reveal himself in these ways.
Yeah.
All I can do is say, thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yeah. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 12, set the music back in the 70s, says it well, thou art worthy. Let's sing this to him.